What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 160 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We have a fantastic episode for you tonight. We are going to be getting to a topic that we have long overlooked. That's right, we are going to be breaking down the Gambit Prime weapons from Season of the Drifter, which I believe was Season 6. So we are digging deep into the archives, pulling up some weapons that we never did a breakdown for, and we figured it was about damn time that we got around to it. So that is going to be the topic of tonight's episode, but first let's get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. And how are you doing this evening, Kit?
Well, Mercules, I'll tell you what, I feel like I'm having to slow my mouth down to let my brain catch up today. It's just been, this week has just been nuts for me. I feel like one thing after another, between work and just being a dad and life, I think, you know. But that said, I've been able to fit some Destiny in, which has been extremely stress relieving this week. It's really taken the edge off of everything, and I'm kind of pumped to finally knock this out. People have been asking for this breakdown, like, hey, when did you guys break this down? Literally for, I think, almost a year now, and we keep having to say, oh, we haven't yet, and now, at last, we can finally say it was episode 160. Boom. Got it done. How about you, man?
Yeah, it's the same, man. We were talking about before the podcast. I just feel like I've been beat over the head with a stupid stick today. I am really, really struggling. I was in a meeting with some people in another country that was supposed to be a hour-long meeting. Ended up going 2.5 hours, and it has just been brutal, one thing after another. But like you, I've been playing a lot of Destiny, using it for stress relief 100%. Really actually been, you know, enjoying PvP more than I feel like I have any right to at this point in time, considering where everything else is in Destiny. But I've been having fun. I've been playing a lot. I've been playing with I played with Cool Guy last night after we did the firing range podcast, which was a ton of fun. I actually played against Rescue Herc Driver. You guys might recognize him from the Discord. I actually played against him today in Classic Mix. It's always nice to run into someone who's on the friends list, which is pretty funny. Nice. It's been a good time. I've pretty much accepted the fact that I'm probably not going to get heir apparent from the Guardian games. I just cannot bring myself to do these horrible medals and bounties on multiple characters. And I'm like 2/3 of the way there, but I just have no motivation to grind this weekend, that particular thing. So it is what it is, but we had a nice TWAB today from Luke. So if we get the housekeeping stuff done, we can hop into that. Do we have any Patreon stuff we got to talk about? I know that we got a huge thank you to someone who's very, very special to the podcast that we got to say.
Yeah, so I want to throw a big thank you out to our ongoing sponsor, ZensoCal. Boy, I tell you, I can't talk tonight. Get ready for that for the next hour. But yeah, so ZensoCal made a huge donation last year for an annual sponsorship, and we had no expectation that this was something that he was gonna ever do again. It was just a very generous contribution that he made to support the podcast over the next year, and he's gone and he's done it again. So thank you so much for that. Really appreciate it. As we do all of our patrons who have, over the last few years, just made doing this podcast something that we don't even have to think about when it comes to, you know, paying the bills, keeping a website up, keeping the podcast hosted. It's really, really, really nice to know that we can just kind of sit down and just focus on doing the breakdowns, doing the Destiny stuff, and not have to think too much about the rest of it. So thank you so much to all of you. And that is all I have.
Yeah, and on top of that, if you guys see them in the Discord with the yellow or orange tags on their names, you know, those are the guys who keep this podcast free of advertisements, pretty much. So they're the sponsors, and we call them that. And as long as we've got sponsors, we will never have ads on this that's podcast. Great. So that's something. Unless you listen on Spotify, in which case we can't stop them from putting ads on it, and we don't make any money on that, and we told them not to, and they didn't listen to us.
So, yes.
Yeah. Unless you listen on Spotify, in which case we have no control over the ads. But we do actually have two reviews this week. Both of them were left from United States listeners. One of them is from Dean and Berg. He says, fantastic, 5 stars. I'm so glad I found this podcast. I recently came back to Destiny 2 after some time off, and this has been an excellent resource. Can't wait to hear more from you guys. Great job. Thank you very much, Dienenberg. We really appreciate
it. Yeah, thank you.
I'm glad that you recently found us, and I'm glad that you think we're an excellent resource. Next up is from, I don't know how to pronounce this, Gwillim, maybe? It's G-W-Y-L-L-I-M.
Feels like Gwillim to me.
Gwillim, yeah, Gwillim. This is from Monday. He says, I don't know. Special guest, 5 stars. Awesome podcast that I save for my weekend long runs. Love the feeling of listening in to a pair who are even more obsessed with the details of Destiny 2 and how and why its guns feel good, better, and best depending. The only thing I'd love to see, bring on a guest or two to give context or perspective, particularly in between content or patch drops or to cover other playstyles. Thank you very much for the review. I appreciate the 5 stars. I will say that it's not that we don't want to have guests on. And we have had guests on in the past. It is that I edit this podcast myself in between doing the podcast and like doing my real life job. And we record individual audio tracks to make editing, to make the sound quality better, right? And so what that means is when we bring a guest on, if we're to bring 2 guests on, I would have to then edit an entire other audio track, which ups the time that it takes me to edit, which is already in the like hour plus range on top of recording the podcast. So the only reason that we are not doing guest is because I don't want to have to edit another audio track. So it is 100% my fault that we do not do guest, but until my schedule opens up to a point where I feel comfortable spending multiple hours editing a podcast, unfortunately, I don't think guest is something that's going to happen. But we have done the thing before where if I'm out for a period of time, Kutch does it with a guest host. If Kutch was out, I could do it with a guest host, something like that. So it's not that you won't ever hear anyone's voices other than us two. It's that as long as my product manager life stays just continually kicking my ass, the chances of me wanting to edit a third audio track are not very high. But I do thank you for the podcast review, and I really, really appreciate it.
And I just want to say props. I really appreciate that you listen to us on your long runs. I do quite a bit of running. Like I mentioned earlier, one of the reasons that I'm feeling kind of like beat tonight especially is that I think I cleared about 9.5 miles today, which is pushing the most that I've run in a single day. I really feel that. Unfortunately, I love listening to podcasts, but I literally cannot listen to anything while I run because it gives me splitting headaches to have headphones in my ears. And it didn't used to. This started like 4 years ago, like basically when I started actually kind of running again semi-seriously. I wore headphones and I went and like did a 5K and I literally almost threw up because I had such a bad headache. Because I was listening to music it became a thing. So I don't know what happened, but
that is an unfortunate affliction.
Yeah. It's, you know, it used to bother me. Like it used to be kind of tough, but I've just gotten so used to kind of running in silence and like listening to like, it's nice here in Texas because like it's basically either spring or summer, like I don't know, 9/10 of the year. So the weather's always nice. There are always birds singing, and the area where I live is fairly non like city. So it's relatively peaceful. I don't have to listen to a lot of traffic and honking cars unless I happen to go run over by the interstate. Anyway, huge aside, did not mean to get into all that, but I just appreciate some the runners out there tuning in. That means a lot to me.
Yeah, and I run from my living room to the refrigerator to get a beer in between Destiny games. No, I am not the cardio type of athlete. I am much more of the go to the gym and push heavy things around and lift heavy things. Like that's 100% my type of thing. But we don't need to talk about this. This is not an in real life episode based on fitness. We need to talk about Destiny. And so the TWAB today. We're not going to go over the whole thing. We're just going to briefly touch on some changes that are coming to Eververse. So Luke Smith wrote in. Basically said, look, we're making some pretty wholesale changes to Eververse. A lot of them I agree with, perhaps all of them I agree with. They're not coming, I don't think, next season, but they will be here by the fall expansion, which, you know, based on how quiet they've been about it, I actually have a feeling that it's going to be something bigger. than we think it is. But that's neither here nor there. Let's talk about Eververse. So he said they're going to be adding transmogrification to Destiny 2. It will allow players to turn their armor into universal ornaments. They said they are going to do it with in-game efforts or silver. They're not sure exactly how. This was on Twitter. They clarified. They're not sure exactly how they're going to do it, but once they know, they will tell us more about it. They're going to start delivering aspirational armor pursuits. They said the armor will come from activities, not Season Pass or Eververse. For example, next season, they removed the Eververse armor from Season 11, and instead they itemized it into an aspirational activity, right? They said going forward, aspirational activities will reward players not only with power, but with items and vanity. And there will always be at least one accessory to pursue. They're working on adept weapons for Trials of Osiris, and Trials is going to get new armor that's not a reprisal, new accessories, new weapons in Season 13, and Trials will get new armor every year. Destiny's next raid will have brand new armor, it will have weapons, it will have exotic accessories. Beginning in Season 12, which is the fall season, they will no longer be selling ships, ghost shells, sparrows, or armor ornaments in Eververse that are visually based on themes from aspirational activities. That is really, really smart. The most recent example of that is probably the Eververse Sparrow that was clearly the like Red Keep Sparrow, right?
Yeah.
That was very clearly from either the Dungeon or the Strike. And instead it got sold in Eververse. So they are said they're still going to sell stuff through Eververse, but it will no longer be themed with things that are going on in game, which is great. The biggest thing is, and this is something that I actually suggested a long time ago. Long-time listeners will know this, right? So they are adding a new set of armor for the core playlist, Strike, Gambit, and Crucible. The armor is going to share the same geometry, but the decals and shaders will be specific to the activity, right? This will arrive alongside the next expansion. I guess that means fall. I don't think that means season 11.
Yeah, I
think
I would read that as the fall expansion, yeah.
Then they said starting in season 12, we are adding a new pursuit weapon each season. This weapon can be earned by playing your preferred core playlist, but then they will have skins, legendary skins, that will be unlocked in each playlist. So this is something that I recommended a long time ago, right? And it was, you have all these Suros ARs, you take all the different Suros ARs, you crunch them down into one Suros AR, and you take each of their paint schemes, and you make it an ornament, right? You make it a skin. So that's starting to be what they're doing here, is they're going to have one gun, and there'll be a Gambit skin, there'll be a Crucible skin, there'll be a Strike skin, right? Which I think is a really neat idea. So I'm very much looking forward to that. They said they're no longer be selling legendary weapon ornaments in Eververse, which is fine because who cared about those anyways. They're going to make it easier to earn Bright Dust. They're going to make it easier specifically for single character accounts to earn Bright Dust. And they're going to update the Bright Ingrams to include Year 3 Eververse items, which were previously sold for silver and Bright Dust. And going forward, Bright Ingram will update each season to include Eververse items from 3+ seasons prior, which is a nice change. So overall, a very positive sounding list of changes for Eververse, in my opinion.
Yeah, I have to say that is just resoundingly positive news. I have no idea how Reddit is responding to this. I can only assume it's on fire.
Reddit is actually very happy. This is the most highly upvoted TWAB that we have had in a very long time.
That's amazing. And honestly, that's how it should be. Because they're literally... I don't see anything in here that they're doing wrong. Or that it even could really be construed as them doing something wrong. They're essentially just giving us a lot of good positive changes to the game. Making stuff more chaseable, which is really... a big part of what makes the game fun for a lot of people. I'm still a little bit stuck just because I'm so pumped for transmog. It's hard for me to keep reading past that line. Because I'm going to be rocking my year one future workhold armor just 100% of the time now.
As long as it does not carry over to exotics, and there's a reason for that, and the reason they actually said this way back when in one of the Crucible talks, but it's so that you can tell what opponents and teammates are running without physically inspecting them. Just by looking at them, they always try to make exotic armor very unique so that you can look at someone and say, oh, that person's running this.
Yeah, right? No, I think that makes sense. And I certainly hope that they do maintain the integrity of the exotics. I think that's a good point to bring up. But yeah, as far as aesthetics go, I'm super pumped to be able to finally truly choose the look that I prefer.
All right. So, without further ado, I believe we can get into the Gambit Prime weapon. So, full disclosure, we are not going to be talking about the heavy weapons. That would be 21% Delirium. Oh, goodness. And now I've forgotten the name of the sword. Doomsday is the name of the grenade launcher, and the name of the sword is.
I closed the window. Sorry.
So did I, because we weren't going to talk about it.
While
The name of the sword
he's looking for that, I just
is.
want to throw a quick major props to Titans for just kicking our butts thoroughly.
Just in case,
I don't know
that
if
was the
you've
name of the sword.
contributed at all to the Titans. I hope you haven't, but
Now, I've only contributed to the hunters, and it hasn't helped us at all, clearly.
yeah, I mean, I've been putting in just a lot of, I have played a fair amount of this. I don't have the machine gun yet because I don't have time to really grind. But I'm probably gonna get there, and wow, we are just getting kicked. So props, well done, Titans. You've put us in our place.
Yep. Yeah, so the sword's name was Just In Case. So it was Just In Case Doomsday at 21% Delirium in order to save time, and also because nobody really cares about that particular grenade launcher or the sword, and 21% Delirium is a fixed-roll from a quest. We are going to be focusing on the special and primary weapons, and we've already talked about two of those. So we've already talked about Gnawing Hunger in episode 158. And we talked about Outlast in episode 159. So if you'd like to hear the breakdowns, please go check out those other two episodes. So what we're going to be talking about today is Spare Rations, Night Watch, Lonesome, Bug Out Bag. That is a hand cannon, scout rifle, sidearm, and SMG, respectively. And then Last Man Standing and Soul Survivor, which are a shotgun and a sniper. So those are the six we're going to be talking about today. We're going to start with what is probably the most popular of these weapons, Spare Rations. Which is a 150 RPM hand cannon. That is a lightweight hand cannon. When you talk lightweight hand cannons, what that means is that you can get a kill in 0.8 seconds with three critical hits. The body shot TTK is not very good, 1.6 seconds with five body shots. But the one-off TTK of 1.20 seconds is extremely easy to hit. One crit. Three body shots, right? Only 25% crit accuracy needed. Although that 1.2 second time to kill, basically an adaptive AR will kill you in that same point in time hitting all body shots, right? So you really, these are probably still the most meta weapon out there, tied with adaptive ARs as far as primaries go. And Spare Rations is the most meta of these meta weapons, right? Now, stat-wise, we're going to talk about it really fast. Lightweights in general don't have good range and they don't have good stability. What they do have great is fantastic aim assist, above average handling, pretty quick reload speed, and large mag sizes. Spare Rations is really no exception to any of that. But the thing that Spare Rations has going for it is although the archetype generally has poor range and stability, Spare Rations actually has pretty much average range and above average stability. Right, that's why Spare Rations is the most popular. The only other one that's even close to it is Dire Promise, which is a world drop. But Spare Rations has 45 range, which is average for hand cannons in general, high for lightweights. It's actually the highest of the lightweights. Stability is 55, again, the highest of the lightweights and above average in general. Reload speed is 64, the highest of the lightweights, above average in general. Handling is 76, the highest of the lightweights. There's a theme here, right? Spare Rations is just very, very good for a lightweight hand cannon. Aim assist is 92. Can you guess? It's the highest of the lightweights. Recoil direction is 100, obviously the highest of the lightweights. Mag size is 13, the highest of the lightweights. So the theme here is that if you want a lightweight hand cannon, Spare Rations, if you're just looking at stats, is across the board the best option.
Yeah, it's pretty phenomenal. Can't disagree with that at all. I think it's actually, if I'm not mistaken, the only weapon I have never been able to get to drop for me from Gambit Prime, which is actually kind of frustrating because it's probably the one that I would use far and away the most. Yeah, I just triple checked my collections, and 100% it has never dropped for me. So that's too bad. The thing though about spare rations is that while stat-wise it is head and shoulders above the other randomly rolled legendary lightweights, and really just in general above the other legendary lightweights, its perk pools are A, very, very large. Like, there are a lot of options in every single column. The smallest pool for one of the slots is 7. All of the others have more than that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's like, why would you do this to us? Normally, guns at this point in time, 6 is like pushing it, right? Most of them have 4 or 5. To have 7 or 8 in a perk pool it makes it hard.
And
And
it's
they
not
kind of.
super easy to farm either. I mean, you basically you just have to
No.
play a lot of Gambit Prime, which is fine, I guess, but you can only do that for so long. So it's pretty brutal to get a good roll. And I know I see people on Twitter like taunting others with their rolls. I won't name any names right now, but yeah, you know who you are. Let's take a look at those perks.
So I am actually a fan of stability on these because I know that for a period of time people talked range all the time, and I think Cool Guy did a really great video that shows that at most you're getting like 2 additional meters of damage fall off. And then people were like, well, but what about the aim assist? And that's true, but what he was pointing out is that if your aim assist is dropping off enough for range to be helping you, you're outside of the optimal range of the gun anyways, and you're just going to be plinking away at them, right? You're not going to be doing a ton of damage. So when I'm looking for rolls on the 150s, I have basically said, screw range, I'm not even going to try to push engagement distances with this, right? I'm going to use it up close and I'm just going to try to max stability as much as I can, and go from there.
Yeah, no, I would absolutely agree with that. On a gun like this, I'd be looking for like polygonal rifling. Small bore would be phenomenal. I feel like I've seen some people say that they really like full bore, they really like their range, and that's just a terrible choice to me. That's a penalty. I'd stay away from like Arrowhead Break, for example. Remember, that's recoil, not stability, and this gun already has a recoil direction of 100, so you're literally throwing it into a black hole. Just not going to do any good for you. Corkscrew rifling is probably a pretty passable choice. It'll give you a little bit of extra handling, which is nice. And then I would also stay away from Hammer Forge. It's +10 range, which is not going to hurt you, but again, probably not going to be the top tier choice in terms of making the gun easier to use.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. Polygonal rifling, chambered compensator are the 2 +10s in stability department. Small bores +7, corkscrews +5. Those are going to be the top four in that order. Hammer Forged, it is what it is. Look, man, if you get some range, it's not going to hurt you to have range, right?
Exactly.
Especially considering the other rolls you get. So if you get small bore, if you get corkscrew, don't lament the fact that you're missing out on 5 stability. There's plenty of other ways to buff stability at that point in time. And a little bit of range never hurt anyone. If you get like +10 range total overall, meaning like just one or, 2 +5 range perks or 1 +10 range perk, and everything else goes to stability, you'll be more than fine. And the mag slot, ricochet rounds is obviously going to be number one because it's +5 range and +10 stability. That's going to be the best right there. You can also go with flared magwell, which is +5 stability, +15 reload speed. That's great. If you aren't able to get stability, then you've got high caliber rounds for +5 range, and you've got light mag for +5 range and +10 reload speed. Those are both probably my next two choices after ricochet and flared magwell. And then appended mag is decent. It just buffs the magazine size by one. The magazine size is already high. You're not really going to have a problem with it. But it's kind of like having range. Having a little bit higher magazine size never hurt anyone.
Exactly. Yeah. Nothing to be sad about there. The next column is super duper easy because it's terrible. So I'll work from terrible on up. So you've got auto loading holster, which I mean, I guess it's a nice background perk. Like, it's not the absolute worst perk you could get, but it's not doing a whole lot to help you win gunfights. Field prep, just absolutely wasted in PvP. And honestly, I really wouldn't want it in PvE either. So if I have a hand cannon, I'm taking cover to reload, period. Threat detector, okay. Subsistence, I mean, I don't know. I'm a little 50-50 on subsistence. It definitely hurts the reserve capacity pretty badly. I don't. Do you know how many rounds it adds back on a kill? Is it two or three? Okay, I was thinking it was two. So it's not the absolute worst thing that you could have, but definitely not super strong. Snapshot sights is not, again, it's not a terrible perk to have, but there are certainly better ones out there. Fourth times the charm is pretty terrible, certainly in PvP. And I don't know how often you're really using this gun to plink away at majors in PvE either. Rapid hit is the one we're really looking for here. Rapid precision hits temporarily increase stability and reload speed. Basically, the two things that you always want more of on a hand cannon like this. So rapid hit is just tier one, gold star, absolutely. That's the perk that you want above and beyond all of these other ones. Would you disagree with that at all?
No, 100%. I mean, my golden rule is going to be, small bore, ricochet rounds, rapid hit. If I get those three right there, I'm real happy. And especially because pretty much anything in the last slot is going to be decent enough. What they did to this gun, and I don't know why they did it this way, but they put seven perks in trade slot one. Only one of them, at least for PvP. For PvE, it's a whole different story. I'm not really a big fan of lightweight hand cannons in PvE. They just don't do enough damage for my taste. But
Agree.
this gun has, those are all good perks for, they're all fine perks for PvE, right? But for PvP with this gun, where you really want to be using it, there's only one good perk in trade slot one. But then in trade slot two, there's only one bad perk. And all the other perks are good. It's like they took every single perk you would normally want on a hand cannon and they put them all in trade slot two. So you've got kill clip, which is great, rampage, which is great, multi-kill clip, which is good. Slide shot, which is good, range finder, which is good, moving target, which is good, swashbuckler, which is good, right? So you've got, and then hip fire grip, which is terrible. So, it's like as long as you get those first three perks nailed down, you're pretty much going to be golden in the last slot. You're going to get something that's useful. Now, kill clip, rampage, multi-kill clip, swashbuckler, those are better like 6v6 perks, right? Because there's just so many more people that you're more likely to be chaining those kills one after the other. My personal favorite almost always is kill clip, just because the damage boost is so, ridiculously, ridiculously high. And for those of you who are wondering, kill clip takes it down to a one crit, two body shot time to kill. Or still 0.8 second, but one crit, two body shot kill.
It just makes it super easy. Nice.
Rampage, one stack of rampage is a two crit, one body. So that's also, relatively easy. And if you do happen to get like subsistence in the first perk pool, Rampage is great. But the reason I like Kill Clip is because Kill Clip pairs extremely well with multi or with a rapid hit, right? Because rapid hit is increasing your reload speed. So I personally just really, really like Kill Clip. But if you're playing trials or comp or something where you're less likely to be running into multiple enemies one after the other, or you're less likely to be reloading in the middle of a fight, Rangefinder is probably tier one. It's going to be the biggest single boost range that you can get on a hand cannon. It's the only thing that surpasses the range limitation that it has. Moving target on a controller is fantastic. Faster strafe speed, better aim assist. I personally think moving target is a tier one perk on controller, no matter what. Slide shot is good. It boosts the stability and it boosts the range, right? So it's kind of like a little mini range finder. My only reason why I wouldn't go all into slide shot is because if you've spec'd this gun right, you probably already have a lot of stability and you've got rapid hit, right? And at some point, the gun's just, you're basically just putting more stability. It's already going to have pretty much minimal recoil, right? So, 6v6, I'm going to say kill clip, multi kill clip with rapid hit for trials or something. I'm going to say range finder, moving target.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Yeah, I've really kind of come to appreciate moving target a lot more than I ever used to, and how effective it is at winning those 1v1s. So that's for sure a tier one choice for me. And honestly, I'd take that gun into 6v6 any day.
Yeah, I mean, spare rations is probably one of the most used primaries in the game right now, and you can see why.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pain in the butt to farm, but if you get one and it has a good first couple of perks, it's going to be a great gun for you to use. That's pretty much the last of the meta guns that comes out of this, right? The other ones, you're going to be a little bit more hard pressed to convince someone that it is worth farming them. You know, well, there is one more. There's one more that in particular has one very, very good role. I actually got that role, which I'm extremely, you know, fortunate with, but we'll talk about that later. Let's continue with the rest of the primaries. Nightwatch is the next one. Nightwatch, in my opinion, is underrated. It's from the 200, the lightweight archetype of scout rifles. That means it is a legendary Mida, basically. The lightweight scout rifles are. Scout rifles in general just aren't popular, but the lightweights kill in 0.9 seconds. Problem is, it's not a super fast time to kill. It takes 3 crits and a body shot. The body shot time to kill is atrocious at 1.80 seconds with 7 body shots. That's horrendous. Scout rifles in general just have really bad body shot damage, and it just drops their usefulness way, 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 way down. Not to mention the maps that we're using currently in the PvP rotators don't really promote that style of gameplay, especially with Revoker being so strong. You can easily use Revoker at every distance than Nightwatch is going to be good at. And Nightwatch is not going to be able to flinch Revoker enough to make the Revoker user miss. So it kind of struggles there. If we want to talk stats for Nightwatch, it's pretty good. In general, the lightweight scouts, like the lightweight hand cannons, don't have great range, don't have great stability. But lo and behold, here's Nightwatch that has 48 range, best of the lightweights, 47 stability, second best of the lightweights. Pleiades Corrector actually has 49, and Purpose has 50, but those are both year one guns that you can't get random rolls on, right? Reload speed is 65, which is above average for scouts in general and pretty good for the lightweights. Handling is 71, which actually is about average for the lightweights, but handling isn't a big thing on scout rifles that you need. Aim assist is 69, which is probably actually below average for lightweights, but it's above average for scouts in general. And then the mag size is 16, which is, they're all 16 or 15 for the lightweights, so you don't really need to worry about that. So stat-wise, it's not quite as head and shoulders above everything else as spare rations is, but it is still pretty decent. And then the perk pool is much, much smaller too, which is
I would
nice.
argue that that the combination of both that good range, I mean the range really is head and shoulders above, which for the lightweights can actually matter. I think a lot of people are used to using Mida, which is actually a little bit better with range than this gun. And so for Mida, you probably don't really see a lot of situations where you're going to hit that drop off, but there are some. And so for most of the lightweights, you're definitely going to be hitting situations where you will get that damage and the aim assist drop off actually coming into play. This gun is going to do much better than the other ones. So I think that's maybe worth mentioning a little bit.
Perk wise, so for scout rifles, lightweights in particular, I like to go all in on stability. If I'm using a lightweight scout rifle, I'm basically trying to mimic Mida as close as I can,
Yeah.
and Mida has fantastic stability. So same perks we talked about, because they have barrel perks, not scope perks. Same perks we talked about on the spare rations are going to be in play on Nightwatch. Polygonal rifling, chambered compensator. In fact, chamber compensator is probably very, very good on this because the recoil direction is only 57. So chamber compensator, although I don't find recoil direction to be tremendously helpful on scouts, for the most part, because of their rate of fire being what it is, you can kind of just the recoil just kind of resets itself anyways. It's not a big deal. Small bore corkscrew rifling. In the next slot over, again, if we're looking for stability, steady rounds, flared magwell, those are gonna be the two. If you really want, you can try to bump up the range with accurized rounds. I'm probably not tremendously going to do that. You're not going to find too many places with a lightweight scout rifle that you feel like you're outside of your useful range, right? You know, the rapid fire scout rifles, maybe a little bit. The lightweights, not so much. Mida and the other lightweight scouts are pretty much, with what we have in game right now, they're pretty much always going to be useful. You're not really going to find it. You could also do a pinned mag or tactical mag. Tactical mag will boost your stability a little bit, so I'd probably prefer that one. A pinned mag will give you a little bit bigger boost to your magazine size.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. And so that takes us over to the trait slots. Now there are a few pretty good choices in the first trait slot here. We've got Outlaw, which is always phenomenal on a precision weapon like this. Obviously, you do not want the body shot time to kill to be part of your gameplay strategy with this gun. You have to be landing your crit. So Outlaw is going to really reward that and make reload speed sort of irrelevant for you. And then Rapid Hit basically falls into the same category. I would probably take Rapid Hit over Outlaw, because if you're landing your precision hits, you're going to continue to get that big stability boost, which is going to make the gun feel really, really, really easy to control. And the reload is going to be maybe not quite as fast, but I think it's still going to be fast enough.
Yeah, especially if you get enough critical hits to kill someone. It'll be pretty close to fast enough. I'm going to take Rapid Hit because in the next slot, I am going to try to get probably multi-kill clip if I can, because I believe multi-kill clip, even a single stack, does enough damage to bring it to a 3 crit kill in 0.6 seconds.
Nice.
Right? Whereas a single stack of Rampage does not make it do enough damage. I think multi-kill clip takes it up to doing 65 damage per crit. Kill clip would bring it up to 71 damage per crit, so it's slightly lower than that. Rampage only takes it up to 59. So I'm going to try to get multi-kill clip and rapid hit, and that's going to be like my go-to for anything sixes. Moving target is also there and also very good. But the only role that I'm going to really want on this is rapid hit, multi-kill clip.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's a really phenomenal combination right there.
For PvE, you could do subsistence rampage and also be in a pretty good spot, I think. Just a little bit less so for PvP.
I would even, you know, point out that really for PvE, there's not... The only perk that you don't want in that slot for PvE is probably moving target, because it's not gonna be relevant. But you've got demolitionist, which is always nice. Getting more grenade energy is always a good thing in PvE. And then being able to instantly reload the gun just by throwing a grenade also feels good. Explosive payload is also an option. And if you like plinking away at a distance and clearing up those adds without putting yourself in harm's way, explosive payload on a scout rifle like this is a really phenomenal way to do it. And rapid hit is going to make that pretty easy, because you still do get the bonus from getting those precision hits, even though explosive payload is also doing AOE damage. So you can still stack those up. I think with PvE, pretty easy to get a good roll on this gun. PvP, a little bit harder. There you have it.
Yep. Next up is the Bug Out Bag. Bug Out Bag is an adaptive SMG, solar SMG. Unfortunately, like all SMGs that are not Recluse, it's pretty much just straight garbage right now. It's a fault of the class of weapon, not so much as the gun itself. I'm not going to spend too much time going over this one because, quite frankly, it's just not a tremendously great option. But, you know, it does exist. It is a thing that happens. The problem is that there's seemingly a lot of adaptive SMGs that you could use. There's Trackless Ways from the Tangled Shore. There's Exit Strategy from the Gambit Pinnacle from Season 9. There's Hard Truths. You know, statistically, it's probably, decently the best out of them. But I don't even really want to talk about it because SMGs right now just bum me out with how not good they are. So let's just jump straight to the perks. You need range. You need stability. You need both of those things. It's a 900 RPM. On mouse and keyboard, you're probably fine just going for range. On console, good luck controlling the range on this one. Or good luck controlling the stability on this one. Enough to have it even be effective at range. So I try to max both of them, which sucks because you don't have ricochet rounds in the max slot. So you can take steady rounds to try to up your stability, but that hurts your range. Or you can take accurized rounds to try to up your range, but that doesn't give you a stability boost. So your best bet is doing something like chambered compensator accurized rounds and that way you get plus 10 to both of them. In trade slot one, you do have Zen Moment. Zen Moment's going to help. That's probably really the only good perk for PvP in there.
I would agree with that.
Is Zen
Moment.
And then, normally anything else, I would want something like Swashbuckler, or I would want something like Multi-Kill Clip. But honestly, I find these 900 RPM SMGs so difficult to use that for me, a controller player, I'm going to go with Moving Target. That's my best one.
100%. Yeah, that was my same pick. I saw Swashbuckler, and I'm like, in PvE on this gun, I'd be like, okay, Grave Robber, Swashbuckler, boom, done, easy. If you want an SMG for PvE, a 900 RPM SMG with only 32 rounds in the mag, instead of like an auto rifle, for example, then that's a choice that you can make, and I support you as a human being. Not a choice I would make.
Oh yeah,
but it's there.
And the aim assist is just terrible at 46. So it's like, yeah, the moving target helps a lot. And then it has slideways, which sucks because I wish I had slide shot. Because slideways boost handling and stability instead of range and stability. It's like, I don't need the handling, but thank you. So yeah, Swashbuckler, Multi-Kill Clip. If you really want the damage boost, I'm going to go with Moving Target, Zen Moment. This is not a great gun. We're just going to kind of leave that one where it lays.
All right. So let's talk about Lonesome. Lonesome is a precision sidearm. So that is going to put it in the Drang category, I believe. Which is actually...
No, it's actually Vestian Dynasty is what
Lonesome is. Oh, okay. Oh, Drang is adaptive, isn't it? I, for some reason, always think it's precision, and I'm always wrong. So, yeah, it's going to be like the Vestian Dynasty. Boy, that takes me back to D1. Anyway, so Lonesome. I'd say, is fairly average for a precision sidearm. It comes out pretty far ahead of most of them in the range category, with 62, the highest being the Ithelflaw D at 63. But after that, it's not too much of a standout. 48 stability, which is on the higher end for that category of sidearms, but not good overall. Reload speed of 29, which is pretty terrible, but again, it's a sidearm, so, 29 on the sidearm still isn't super slow. Handling of 40, which is pretty bad for a sidearm. 86 aim assist, which is pretty good overall, but fairly average for that category of sidearm. 90 recoil direction, which I think is fantastic, even though it's relatively low for a sidearm. And then 12 in the mag, which, I mean, I probably would like more rounds in the mag for a gun like this, but... it certainly could be worse. Could be minimum distance at 9. So,
yeah, I mean, it's an oft overlooked category of sidearms, the precisions. There's not really a ton of them that you see a lot. They're probably, weirdly, there's three of them that I think are currently able to be gotten with random rolls. But yet, you never really see them. In PvP, you never really see them in PvE. Reason being, the optimal time to kill is super easy to hit with two crits and two bodies, but 0.7 seconds, which for a sidearm is pretty slow. And then the body shot TTK is 0.93 seconds, which is okay, right? It's all right. It's just not tremendous. So what ends up happening is people start using Drang, which can kill in 0.6 seconds. So much harder to hit optimal TTK, but a little bit faster. They end up using the Omelon Adaptives, which have a 0.5 second TTK, which is much, much harder to hit, but way faster, right? They end up using the Aggressives, which have a slightly slower time to kill, one single frame, but they can basically kill in three bursts of the body, which is tremendously nice. So, yeah.
And the body shot on the Aggressives is faster, too.
Yeah, by a tenth of a second. So... the only class of sidearm I feel like gets less love than the precisions is the Suros Rapid Fire, the full auto sidearms, which literally no one uses ever. I don't know why we have so many archetypes of sidearms in this game.
Way too many.
Yeah. But so, it is what it is. It's an okay sidearm. Perk wise, so sidearms, especially with the precisions, The rate of fire isn't tremendously fast. The rate of fire is up at 260, right? So it fires about as fast as one of the full auto scout rifles. It's pretty fast. I like stability on these. They already have about as much range as you're going to get on a sidearm. Even if
Yeah.
you max that range out, these things just really aren't effective outside of like 15 meters, right? So even if you do every single thing you can to get as much range as you can, and on mouse and keyboard, you're more than welcome to because stability doesn't help you guys at all. But really, for me, I'm going to be going stability. Polygonal rifling is probably going to be my top choice, or chambered compensator, either one of those. Small bore, corkscrew rifling. It's a theme with the gamut of
Yeah,
weapons,
pretty much all of
right?
them.
Yeah. Then on top of that, it does have ricochet rounds. That's a good thing. That's what we're looking for in the magazine. Ricochet rounds, or flared magwell. Then you could do light mag or high caliber rounds. You could also do a pin and mag here because putting an extra one in the magazine is actually going to help more on a sidearm than it is on a lot of other guns.
Yeah. Kind of another theme there in the magazines. We There's definitely a few perks that are on all of these guns that are pretty much universally good.
Up next in the trait slot one, full auto trigger system. This is about the rate of fire where I start to be like, maybe full auto would be nice to have. I probably wouldn't pick it as my top tier perk, but if you're someone who struggles with maintaining maximum rate of fire, it'd be nice to just be able to hold down the trigger, right? Because, think about it like it's an auto rifle that has very, very short range, but kills in body shots as fast as bygones kills in, all crits, right? So, yeah, that's not too bad if you look at it that way. It also has Zen Moment. Zen Moment is probably gonna be the one I'm gonna go with. I'm not really a fan of Outlaw or Rapid Hit on sidearms because you're pretty much just spamming shots, especially with a sidearm that kills in two bodies and two crits, right? Outlaw and Rapid Hit are gonna be kind of hit and miss if they do a lot for you. Plus, sidearms have a natively fast reload speed.
They do, yeah. So that is one area where you can kind of deviate from the perks that are sort of standbys on a lot of other guns. I also wouldn't be completely unhappy with Grave Robber on this gun because if you're using a sidearm, there are going to be a lot more scenarios where you are going to have the opportunity to get a melee kill. Maybe you two tap with Lonesome and then you punch and get the kill. So there are definitely, and it's gonna depend a little bit on what class you're running. Certainly, if I'm using some variation of shoulder charge on a Titan, and I'm running Lonesome as well, I think you could take advantage of Grave Robber to avoid having to reload the gun at all. Take that into account. Consider your playstyle in terms of which perk is gonna be beneficial to you. Because Zen Moment definitely will help if you are trying to take out one person and then chain right into the next, which is gonna blend well with some of the perks in the next column. Grave Robber is kind of more of a very specific strategy. Well, let's jump to the next column. So we've got speaking of chaining, killing one guardian, going right on to the next, swashbuckler, multi-kill clip, both options. Kill clip, also a strong contender there. What do we know about how that affects the time to kill on this gun?
So both kill clip and multi-kill clip take the time to kill, take the shots to kill required from 4 down to 3, and they actually drop the TTK to 0.47, which is crazy, crazy fast.
That's phenomenal.
So either kill clip or multi-kill clip is gonna do well for you. Swashbuckler just kind of cements that 2 crit, 2 body kill. Doesn't really do a ton for you. It will allow you to get a 2 crit 2 body against higher resiliency levels, which is, relatively nice. If you go straight to Swashbuckler tier 5, then yeah, you get the 2 crit 1 body 0.47 second thing. But I mean, especially for the way I play as a hunter, I feel like I'm far more likely to get a kill with the gun and reload to unlock that potential than I am to get a melee kill and then follow up with another kill, right?
Sure.
Usually when I'm getting a melee kill, I'm weak and I'm trying to disengage or something like that. But if you are a Titan who is shoulder charging, or if you're a hunter using your one hit kill throwing knives, it may be something worth pursuing. Opening shot is okay. On rapid fire guns, I don't find opening shot to be tremendous. Slide shot is pretty good. If this were more of a dueling gun, I would recommend slide shot, but I really hope that you're not taking Lonesome into like Trials of Osiris and expecting to be super competitive with it. Because I don't know if you're going to find success there.
That's fair. That's fair. That said, I would still take slide shot probably over opening shot on this gun,
Oh yeah,
just
definitely.
because the generic boost to range and stability is going to last the duration of a gunfight, whether you win or lose. Whereas opening shot is going to help you on one shot, and then you need to spam at least three more.
Yeah, slide shot lasts 2 seconds once it activates, so that is more than enough time to get a kill. And especially if you pair that with Zen Moment and like ricochet rounds and something else, like you'll have a relatively stable gun. You'll find it pretty easy to land your crits then. That would be the best the gun is going to feel doing that, right? I personally, being the type of player I am, I'm going to go for kill clip or multi-kill clip. I'm actually starting to consider on certain guns where one stack of multi-kill clip has a similar effect to TTK that kill clip, I consider multi-kill clip to be the better option because you can chain multi-kill clip a lot easier than you can kill clip. Which is nice. But yeah, so if you want this gun to feel as good as it can possibly be, go Zen Moment, slide shot. If you want to try to up that lethality, then go kill clip and multi-kill clip in the last trait slot.
And this is one gun where demolitionist for me doesn't really feel super worth it because it's going to be I think it's going to be a little more intense trying to work those grenade combos and stuff, trying to get kills with a sidearm like this. I prefer to keep my distance a little bit more with the demolitionist gun. I think that's the whole point of throwing grenades, that I don't have to get that close to get the kill. So anyway, let's jump on to the next gun. Last Man Standing is what I've got up.
Yep, that's the shotgun. It is an aggressive shotgun. It is, here's the thing. It struggles because it going against Mindbender's ambition, in the fact that it is an energy aggressive shotgun. It is way more of a pain in the ass to farm than Mindbender's ambition is, and Mindbender's ambition is already kind of a pain to farm. And on top of that, it isn't capable of rolling with quick draw. And people right now are pretty much labeling quick draw as a must-have perk on aggressive shotguns. It does have a lot of range, or a decent amount of range for an aggressive shotgun at 33. The maximum for that archetype is 36. Stability is 27. Nobody cares about that. Reload speed, handling. Aggressive shotguns as a whole just don't have great stats. They're pretty much all across the board not very good. Aim assist, not very good. Mag size is 4. None of that stuff really matters on a shotgun, right? What matters on a shotgun is the archetype and then the rolls that you get. So on this shotgun, you're gonna be looking for rifle barrel, or full choke would be your secondary option. Rifle barrel obviously increases the range, which now at this point no longer tightens the pellet spread. It only pushes out the damage fall off, but that is still useful. And then full choke tightens up the pellet spread. In the next slot, you can do accurized rounds for more range. At this point, with the studies that people have done on shotguns, it looks like you really only need about plus 10 range, and then you're pretty much capped out in terms of how much it helps you. If you get full choke, then maybe it's worth it to get accurized rounds. If you get rifled barrel in that first slot, you might want to look at something like assault mag, which kind of speeds up the rate of fire. That's probably where I would go, is assault mag.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of assault mag right now on the aggressives. I find it really helpful, because when you're playing that aggressive playstyle, sometimes there's more than one person around the corner than you expect. And so if you, when you make that mistake, it's nice that you have an opportunity to resolve it positively.
Yeah, it shaves about a tenth of a second off of that time between shots, which right now stands about 1.10 seconds. For the perks, it kind of sucks, right? Because opening shot is a great perk, but the only thing that could possibly help you out if you don't have quick draw is field prep, because you can slide and get faster reload, sorry, faster stow and ready speed, right? Which is basically like quick draw. So it sucks because you can't get that because you really do want opening shot because that pushes out that lethal kill distance by about a meter. But if you get opening shot, then you can't get field prep, which means you can't get quick draw, which means you can't compete with mind benders, which means you're kind of at a disadvantage, right? You know, in the next slot and trade slot two, you've got Rampage, which is okay. You've got Demolitionist, which is more of a PvE perk because this gun, you might not have enough ammo up to really make Demolitionist work. Demolitionist is much better a primary weapon. 1-2 Punch, which is exclusively a PvE perk. You've got Swashbuckler, which is a better PvE perk, but is an okay perk for PvP if you are a Titan or an aggressive melee style of player, right? Because then you can really push that one-hit kill distance out quite a bit. And then you got Hipfire Grip, which is not really that great. But it's not terrible on a shotgun, right? You're probably going to be hipfiring a shotgun more often than you will almost every other gun in the game.
And I just want to throw out there, with the zoom changes on shotguns, hipfiring is a lot more of a viable choice than it used to be, right? If you don't have, if you have rifled and not full bore, hipfiring is really not much worse off than aiming down sights. And it can allow you to be a very mobile player. So if you do get hipfire grip and you are a very mobile, aggressive shotgunner, I think it's something that is probably worth experimenting with. You know, and certainly there are a number of perks that don't require aiming down sights that you can take advantage of. You know, if you've got hipfire and opening shot, I think you've got a pretty good chance of landing every single one of those pellets while you're, you know, bunny hopping around somebody. It's going to make it a lot easier for you to be really hard to hit while making your own shot. So something to think about, food for thought.
Yeah, it's just not a gun you're going to see a ton of unless someone really doesn't have a good roll on another aggressive shoddy. So, yeah, it is what it is, but it's not bad. Yeah, it's not bad.
I think it's a solid choice. I know certainly quick draw and high handling is really important for the way a lot of people are playing right now. But, you know, I think this is a usable choice if you're doing something else to, you know, increase your ability to swap weapons. You know, using an exotic of some kind that maybe affects your handling speed. So there are those choices out there. If you've got a God rolled Mindbenders already, then don't worry too much about it.
Right. Next up is the other gun that I was really looking forward to in this weapon pool. I actually got the roll that I was looking for like right off the bat, which is pretty awesome. I was very fortunate. It is Soul Survivor. It is an adaptive sniper rifle. Here's the thing. This gun's actually pretty decent in PvP and PvE. I got the good PvE roll, right? It is one of the few guns that natively has less than 45 zoom as its lowest zoom. The others being, of course, Revoker, which has 35. Beloved, which has 40. The Long Goodbye, which has 40. Apostate and Omniscient Eye and Twilight Oath. And the Supremacy, right? Those are the ones that have 40 or lower. There's also Bite of the Fox, which has 43, which is pretty nice. But most everything else has 45 or higher. You know, like normal adaptives from year one had 50, which is really, really frustrating to deal with. So it's a good gun because low zoom is what you're looking for PvP. But in addition to that, it's because it can roll with opening shot, which is a tier one perk for PvP, just flat out makes the gun so sticky. And it can roll with snapshot, right? So snapshot, opening shot, you're like golden for PvP right there, especially if you get something like Arrowhead Break or Fluted Barrel, you know, the stuff that is going to give you plus 10 or more to handling. So you can get that swap speed and that ADS speed out. It's going to be a truly tremendous gun. And then for, you know, the magazine perks for PvP, it almost doesn't even really matter because there's nothing in there that affects your handling. So it's kind of like, you know, whatever you want to do, just get it. You know, you can get yourself some more range with ricochet rounds or with high caliber rounds or with light mag, or you can get yourself some more stability with flare and mag wall. It really doesn't matter. This is one of the few guns where it's like, I don't really care what you get in the mag perk for PvP, right? Get you Arrowhead Break, Fluted Barrel, snapshot, opening shot, and this is a good PvP sniper.
So I'm just gonna make you slightly jealous and do a little brag here. I did actually just today get a Fluted Barrel, appended mag, snapshot, opening shot, Soul Survivor. It's got a stability masterwork, which is maybe the only real flaw. I would have liked the handling masterwork, but I'll tell you what, I'm gonna keep it.
Yeah, that's.
It's pretty phenomenal.
I mean, that would probably immediately become my favorite PvP sniper because I refuse to use Revoker. It would be
Oh, I
great.
love using Revoker, but I, you know.
Revoker is for the weak.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
So yeah, but the PvE role actually is pretty phenomenal as well on this gun, and I know you just got a pretty decent one.
I actually have four times the charm and firing line. So firing line is the perk that when you stand next to two or more allies, you deal I think it's 33% increased precision damage, which is tremendous for boss DPS. And then you've
Yeah,
got triple tap
huge.
or four times the charm. Obviously, it's going to depend on what you end up having as a mag size. If you can get backup mag and like appended mag so that you end up with six in the magazine, right? Then fourth time the charm is going to be great because you're going to fire off those first four. It's going to put two more in the mag. You're going to fire off the next four and put two more in the mag, right? You're going to end up with 10 shots without reloading with four times the
So just
charm.
so disgusting.
Yeah, and firing line, which means you're going to be doing 33% bonus damage on every one of those precision shots against the boss, right? So this and I think line in the sand are probably among the best legendary options for boss DPS. So highly recommend nabbing one of those. That is really the role you want to go for. I mean, there are other things like if you happen to get firing line, but you don't get four times the charm or triple tap, rapid hit isn't bad, but it just pales in comparison to how useful triple tap, four times the charm, and firing line can be.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think that more or less sums it up. Like, those are basically the two roles that you want, PvE and then the PvP one. Yeah, I think that's it. That's Soul Survivor. Solid gun, totally worth farming.
Yeah, and that's the Gambit Prime weapon. So we finally did a breakdown of them. We're on a breakdown kick right now. We've been doing breakdowns, I think, 5 episodes in a row. So we're getting back to the meat and potatoes of what makes massive breakdowns a thing.
Well, you know what happened is Bungie started giving us a whole bunch of guns to break down, and we just kind of got on a roll, and now we're going back and picking up breakdowns that we missed in the past, and I think we're gonna have to knock out the remaining trials weapons here pretty soon, and they'll probably give us some more guns here, not too long, a few more
Yep,
weeks.
season's almost done.
So we'll start getting some balance patches and some new weapons. They've been doing some good work. They've gotten some flack, I think, for Guardian Games and for this season in general. For some players, hasn't had a lot going on, but the weapons out there, the weapon options for people who like to chase and collect have been phenomenal. So.
Was my cat knocking over a paper towel roll
Hi,
in
Evans.
the background? All right, guys. Well, that is it for this episode. This is episode 160 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Peace.